from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. This time Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All these things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Went the wrong way. Come unto me, all you that are weary and carry heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am humble, I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of the most holy word. Humorist Mark Twain once wrote an essay he called Man the Rational Animal. Among my experiments, he writes, was this. In an hour, I taught a dog and a cat to be friends. I put them in a cage, and in another hour, I taught them to be friends with a rabbit. In the course of the next 2 days, I added a fox, a goose, a squirrel, and some doves, and finally, a monkey. They lived together in peace, even affectionately. Next, he goes on to write, in another cage, I confined an Irish Catholic from Tipperary. As soon as he seemed tame, I added a Scots Presbyterian from Aberdeen. Next, a Turk from Constantinople, a Methodist from the wilds of Arkansas, a Buddhist from China, a Brahmin from Benares, and finally a Salvation Army colonel from Wapping. I stayed away for 2 whole days, and when I returned to note the results, not a specimen was left alive. Throughout world history, religious communities have rarely seen eye to eye. In fact, the war, destruction, and carnage caused by conflict waged in the name of religion is beyond alarming. Of all people in the world, religious folks ought to be able to get along together. Yet hostility remains, even underneath our own Presbyterian umbrella. Hard-hearted selfishness seems far easier than gentle, loving, caring concern for one another. Of all the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5, gentleness may be the most elusive. Life on planet Earth is not very gentle. We live in a very harsh environment. And if you open your heart to be friendly, compassionate, and tolerant, you might just get your heart ripped out. Yet God develops gentleness in people's lives. Despite the way things may appear, the people of God are gentle people. They are courteous and polite. They deeply care about other people. And this morning we're going to talk about gentleness. We're going to take a look at a couple of factors that keep people from being gentle. Briefly look at some character traits that gentle people have, but most importantly, where those character traits come from. First, though, let's pray. God Almighty, there is so much ungentleness in this world. As we seek to be your people, Lord, teach us the gentleness that comes from the kingdom of heaven so that we may treat other people the way we have been treated. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The opposite of gentleness, I think, is callousness. And there are a lot of factors in this world that cause callousness in people's lives. One of the biggest factors that causes callousness in people's lives, I think, is misplaced priorities. If your priorities are all out of whack, it's very difficult to be gentle with other people. For example, back in July of 2005, a resident of Stamford, Connecticut, decided she was going to leave her 2-year-old son in her car while she ran into the store to do some shopping. When she returned, she discovered that she had locked her keys in the car and she couldn't get in. The outside temperature was about 88 degrees and the temperature inside the car left her child in grave danger of heat stroke. So she called 911. When the EMTs got there, they told her that they were going to have to break the glass in one of the windows to get the child out quickly. She did not want to damage her new Audi, so she said no. Instead, she told them to watch her child while she ran more than a mile to her house to get her spare set of car keys. While she was gone, the emergency workers went ahead and broke the glass anyway. Got the child out. When she returned, the police arrested her for child endangerment. She sued the police and fire department for the arrest and the publicity that followed. She was not successful, but people, especially children, are far too important to treat that way. Misplaced priorities create calluses on our hearts that keep us from seeing other people. They cause us to focus far more on ourselves than on them. Gentleness becomes impossible because it's just not that important. Second factor that causes people to be callous is unrealistic expectations. In our culture, we place a great deal of emphasis on the good life. The big problem is that there are very few people who really understand what the good life is. There's a short story about two friends who grew up together as children. They went to the same schools. They played the same sports. They fought together. They laughed together, just like all friends do. As they grew up, though, they drifted apart, chasing the good life. One friend wanted money, material wealth, fame, power, the luxurious lifestyle, all the things money could buy. The second friend wanted knowledge, excellence, love, peace, and the time and freedom to, enjoy all the beauty this life has to offer. And the thing about it is, both friends got exactly what they wanted. The first friend became wealthy, extremely wealthy. In fact, he was the wealthiest among his peers. The second friend was not wealthy. The first friend lost a lot of his physical health. His relationships with his family and his friends became extremely strained because he was so busy. He didn't care. All he wanted to do was make more money. The second friend didn't have any money, but he had a loving family. He had peace of mind. Both friends got exactly what they wanted. So what exactly is the good life? Every day, we get bombarded with constant messages that the good life comes through material extravagance. The problem is that material extravagance doesn't care anything about people. All it cares about is more. It says more is never enough. It just wants more and more and more and does not care about the consequences. So, because of misplaced priorities and unrealistic expectations, we live in a culture that breeds callousness, violence, oppression, abuse, neglect, racism, classism, sexism, addiction are at epidemic proportions. We do not live in gentle times. We live in a time when anxiety levels, stress levels, workloads are at all-time highs. People lash out at one another with little or no regard, and civil discourse has completely been abandoned. And if you don't believe it, just drive down the interstate sometime. They say true character is often revealed in traffic. Contrast the callousness, harshness, and brutality of contemporary society with the words Jesus spoke to his audience nearly 2,000 years ago. Come to me, all of you who labor and carry heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus' invitation is just as real today as it was when he first said it. It's an invitation to discover the good, true life. It's an invitation to find a better way, a way out from under misplaced priorities and unrealistic expectations. It is God's invitation to you. God is developing gentleness in the lives of people who are willing. And one way that God develops gentleness within people's lives is by taking control of your life so that he can give it back to you. How often does it seem that the world around us, our lives, and the lives of people we know are completely out of control? But the reality is that God is in control. God does have a plan. God has a purpose, and God is working that purpose out to completion. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells us what God's plan is. God is at work uniting all things under Christ, all things in heaven and all things on earth. God is in control, and God wants to take control of our lives, not so that God can just pile more demands on top of us, but so that God can rescue us from the chaos of life. And once God has control of our lives, he then gives them back to us in a much more manageable way. A second way that God develops gentleness in people's lives is by empowering commitment within them. Last week, we talked a lot about commitment. We talked a lot about why people don't make commitments, how difficult it is, but some of the big benefits that come from making commitments. And one of the biggest ways God empowers commitment within us is by making a commitment to us and remaining faithful to that commitment. In Isaiah 41:10, God speaks through the prophet and he says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. It has been noted many times that the phrase "do not fear" appears in the Bible 365 times. God has promised to be with us every day, 24/7, 365. Because God has made that kind of commitment to us, we can make those kinds of commitments. And when we make a commitment to accomplish something on behalf of the kingdom of God, to stand with someone else, to make this world a better place in which to live, God's gentle spirit begins to take over our beings. And one final way that God develops gentleness in our lives is by issuing us challenges. See, there is a huge difference between unrealistic expectations and rising to meet a challenge. Unrealistic expectations just beat people into the ground. Challenges bring out the best in people. Challenge creates drive and energy. Challenge inspires hope and brings courage. And God has issued a challenge, a call to each and every one of us. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says that God calls everyone to fulfill special tasks within the kingdom of heaven. And God equips people to join in the work of the kingdom of heaven. God has given all of us special abilities that are necessary and useful for doing the work God has called us to do. God has equipped us with specific talents to rise up and meet the challenge that God has placed before us. There's an ancient legend about Jesus. It's not in the Bible. Maybe it ought to be, but it's not. It's just a story. But it's a really good story. And it underlines Jesus' gentle spirit. See, according to the legend, when Jesus was still working in the carpenter shop, he made the best ox yokes in all of Galilee. And if you don't know what an ox yoke is, there's a picture, a couple pictures. There are collars that go around oxes while they're doing farm work so that they can be easily controlled so they can work together. Anyway, according to this story, Jesus handcrafted each ox yoke so that it was perfectly tailor-made to exactly fit each ox. And above the door of the carpenter shop, there was a sign that read, "My yokes fit well." Christ Jesus the Lord is the gentle giant. And Christ has given each one of us a personal invitation. Jesus has invited you to let him take control of the chaos so that he can give it back to you in a much more manageable way. Jesus has made the ultimate commitment to you and has invited you to make a commitment to him. Jesus has invited you to accept the challenge that he has placed before you. There is a task for the kingdom of God that you can do. A task that you can do well. A task that only you can do. Jesus has promised to be with you to lighten the load, make the burden easy. So if you're working hard, carrying a heavy load, Jesus invites you to come. Jesus is gentle. He is humble in heart. His gentle spirit, breathing life into our spirits, will create such joyful service in his kingdom that all the world will see the light and life of his love. Let us pray. Great and mighty God, you have set the kingdom before us, and you have called us to be at work on behalf of your kingdom. You have empowered us with the skills we need to join you in your work. And in Christ's gentle service, Lord, you have promised that together we can change this world. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.